broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
CBS News' Doreen Branson is live at the Staples Center.
We're not honest about these things. On the state level?
Well, you can call me the racist if you'd like. My position is...
I thought it was shocking that a teacher would say that, because why would you be a teacher?
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. If we could just get the phone calls on the air, we would just be doing so good. This radio show is for patriots by patriots. And that Toby Keith bed, man, you got to take and throw in the river, man.
Why?
Because it's got all kinds of drama. What the hell is going on with the technical execution of this radio show tonight? That Toby Keith bed, there's two or three other beds that are dropping out all over the place. God!
I didn't hear it, man.
I can play it again for you if you want. On top of the fact that I got 15 minutes, we can't put phone calls on the air around here.
I mean, I'm just going to go crazy.
Anyway, welcome to our program, and tell you what, if you'd like to listen to our show in peace and not have to hear me screaming, go to our website and get our podcast. The next day, you can hear the Phil Hendry Show podcast, and you can kind of, you know, fast forward through all the crap you don't want to listen to and get to the good stuff. So you can get our podcast by subscribing to a Backstage Pass, and you can sign up for the podcast through iTunes. And each and every day, the Phil Hendry Radio Show is delivered to your iPod, and you get up in the morning, and there it is, baby. And the other thing you can get up in the morning and see is our video cast. So you can avail yourself of the video cast as well at our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, we were going to talk, and I know you guys wanted to talk about this Nir Rosen. Boy, this guy is a real douchebag. And this Nir Rosen is a classic a-hole. You know, I hate having to say the word a-hole. I wish we could just say the word, you know, because so many people were calling it like it was today on Tweetster.
Well, you talk about that one guy that called that lady, said she was complaining about nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about, bud, but yeah, I'm talking about that guy who said that the Lara Logan girl was, or lady, was complaining about nothing. This guy's a blogger by the name of Nir Rosen. And he tweeted about her basically in a very insulting way. He said, he's one of these, liberals that, like a lot of liberals, he thinks he is... he's not right, because most liberals don't really believe they're right. Most liberals are reactionary. You know, it's one of those things, it's an interesting thing about being a liberal. They are not people that believe they're right. They are people that mostly react to conservatives. And they react in a very predictable way. They say a conservative is a fascist, a racist, a warmonger, you know. In fact, I would be very interested to see a study done on name-calling, all right? Name-calling. Warmonger, fascist, racist, sexist. Those are the words that are generally applied to conservatives. Now, what are the words that conservatives apply to liberals?
Like socialist.
All right, socialist, communist. What else?
No, they call them racist, too.
Yeah, there's some words that sort of slop in the middle there, racist and fascist. The word fascist could be applied equally to both sides, I guess. Not really, but that's what some would do. What a liberal does more than anything is simply react to the conservative world. There's not an original thought in the combined heads of these jackasses. Now, and this guy, Nir Rosen, I don't know how old he is. I don't know what his qualifications are. He doesn't write as if he is very interesting. I don't know how he got the jobs that he's got. But this guy, on his Twitter account, began posting about this woman, saying she had to outdo Anderson. Where was her buddy McChrystal, saying that she was very close to U.S. forces in Afghanistan and Iraq, which made her also a warmonger. Now, it all started... when he made that post, which he said was, quote, humorous. He was trying to be humorous. And then he started to get some heat for what he said. He said, I apologize for being insensitive. It's always wrong. That's a very liberal thing. And remember that the real answer comes after the word but. So this guy steps right into it when he says, I apologize for being insensitive. It's always wrong. Okay, so there's the de facto apology, the ad hominem apology. And then he says, but I'm rolling my eyes at all the attention she'll get for being sexually assaulted. He then goes on and insists it would be humorous if Anderson Cooper had been groped or sexually assaulted, too. That would be humorous. Then more people gave him crap, so he came back with yes, 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 as if he's impatient. It's wrong what happened to her. Of course, I don't support that, but it would have been funny if it happened to Anderson, too. From there, things got worse. He tweeted, Jesus Christ, at a moment when she's going to become a martyr and glorified, we should at least remember her role as a major warmonger. I call that memory lane. I call that a memory lane, you know, enjoying memories you never had. You know, they live in this nostalgic world, some of these liberals, that the Iraq War was the Vietnam War, and that the Iraq War somehow was the same kind of war, was going to wind up the same way. I mean, they're very disappointed that they didn't get the body count out of Iraq. The biggest disappointment felt over the Iraq War is not by conservatives, perhaps or others, where there wasn't a clear-cut, quote-unquote, victory, but more or less just handing it over to the Iraqis and, you know, crossing our fingers. The biggest disappointment was among some so-called liberals, there wasn't a bigger body count for them. They wanted a bigger body count. They wanted to see more soldiers come home. Michael Moore, who lost his chin-up competition with me, by the way.
Well, how many did you do?
I did one, and I haven't heard back from him as to whether he was able to do one. So,
congratulations, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Go ahead, say it.
Let freedom ring.
Let freedom ring. Michael Moore, I'll never forget, on his website, he couldn't wait to get up the pictures of dead American soldiers on his website. Couldn't wait to put them on there. So the problem with the progressives of America when it came to the Iraq War, they didn't get a big enough body count. That's the most disgusting and despicable aspect to those hypocrites. They wanted more dead American soldiers. Nothing would have suited them better. They couldn't wait to get news of rapes. They couldn't wait to get news of any kind of a murder. They would take an incident involving British soldiers beating up a cab driver and turn it into American soldiers murdering a cab driver. And they would repeat it, even though it would be debunked, even though it would be proved false. They would continue to repeat it, continue to make it the truth. You want to know why? Because they live on the lie every bit as much, if not more, than the lie they claim George Bush lived on. And I'm sorry, Mr. Fat Ass, that you didn't get more dead Yankees for you to stick on your website.
Man, you really think Michael Moore want to do something like that? I mean, he come out with Fahrenheit 9/11, which was, well, it wasn't funny, but it was supposed to be.
Oh, that's a great endorsement, Robert.
Yeah, we mean it wasn't funny, but it's supposed to be.
Well, he was trying.
Yeah, well, he ought to try harder. Michael Moore, I don't know. Is he supposed to be funny? You're kidding me, right?
What?
You're trying to tell me that cat's supposed to be funny?
Well, yeah. He's got like a comedy festival and everything.
Hey, Moore, why don't you just stick to what you know? Just pumping the bullcrap out. Okay, so anyway, getting back to this Nir Rosen creep. At the moment she's going to become a martyr, oh my goodness, we're going to make a martyr out of a warmonger. Then... And he says, look, she was probably groped by thousands of other... then he followed up with, she was probably groped by, like thousands of other women. Groped like thousands of other women. This is a stupid man. This is a stupid man. How does this guy get a job? And then I saw him on the Anderson Cooper thing here just a minute ago, who he said that Cooper should have been fondled and raped. A few hours after that post, Mr. Rosen, who's written for the New York Times Magazine and reported in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, began writing posts with a more conciliatory tone, saying, quote, I apologize and I take it back. Joking with friends got out of line. Bullcrap. You weren't joking with friends. When I didn't want to back down, I forgot Twitter's not exactly private. That's a lie. Hours after that, Mr. Rosen's followers began to increase, as did comments about his postings. One said, many a truth is spoken in jest. You should look deeper into why you thought this was a joke. Until then, shut up. Next up, Somebody said, for you to try and characterize your comments in hindsight as a joke reveal even more just how clueless and thoughtless you are. No kidding. People are really pathetic when they do that. Now, I read an interview with this jackass on fishbowldc.com in which he says, I am very sorry. And the interviewer said, do you realize that words hurt? And he said, you know, I have risked my life. Really? I've risked my life for the rights of others. I've always been a big defender. He went on and he listed his credentials as a supporter of women's rights and all this stuff.
Where did he risk his life at?
Because he reported on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan. He's claiming that he risked his life. Well, the fact, and I believe that he risked his life every bit as much as any other reporter who was in the theater of war, whichever one it was, during the hottest months and years of those wars. But no more, no less. And if you ask me, and you ask me to put money on it, I think he had his ass sitting in a hotel most of the time. What do you think of that there, Mr. Rosen? I risked my life. You risked your life like Sean Penn risked his life, driving in a Jeep with, you know, American soldiers protecting his worthless rear end as he, you know, rolled around Iraq trying to get me to believe he's a journalist. These people, you got to be kidding me, man. You're a walking joke, dude.
Yeah, well, that guy, that Rosen guy, he was on Anderson Cooper tonight.
I know, I saw him. Do you think that Cooper talked to him about the whole sexual assault thing?
Well, what do you mean?
That he said that it would have been funny if Cooper was sexually assaulted.
Yeah, I think he would have, but I didn't hear it on account of you had it turned down because you couldn't get any phones on the air.
Oh, thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
Get out of here. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, protest breakout in Bahrain, and ABC News correspondent. Well, we've already done the Middle East, don't you think? So let's move on to something else. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, DA, woman who answered Craigslist ad held as a Brooklyn sex slave for 8 days. A 27-year-old Wisconsin woman said she answered an apartment ad she saw on Craigslist and wound up being held captive as a sex slave in Brooklyn for more than a week. John Hopkins, age 45, has been arrested. The alleged victim said Hopkins held her in his East Williamsburg apartment on Humboldt Street for 8 days. Hopkins faces a series of charges, including rape, assault, and unlawful imprisonment. His bail was set at $350,000. The Brooklyn District Attorney said Hopkins told the woman on the telephone she could live with him for free if she cooked and cleaned. Hopkins allegedly paid for her plane ticket to fly to New York and picked her up at the airport. However, when she arrived at his home on February 4th, Hopkins allegedly told her that she was his slave and forced her to call him master. The woman told police that she was handcuffed to a radiator, beaten, bound, gagged, and raped repeatedly. She said she was allowed out at least once, but handcuffed again when she returned. She has not indicated why she returned. Just talk to you a little bit here. We had a really great show going tonight until we ran into technical difficulties on the other end of our line here, and we just lost control of the radio show tonight. So I'm going to talk to you straight about something here. And I mean, when I say we lost control of this radio show, you know, I'm very out front. We lost control of this radio show. I think maybe the staff got a little late. Play 60 minutes. And this radio show is 3 hours. Now, let me tell you about what happened today. FAIR, which is the Federation for Americans in Favor of Immigration Reform, is having a broadcast forum in Washington, D.C. on April the 6th. And we asked them if we could be a part of it. And they said yes. Why did we want to be a part of it? Because we thought that it would be a very fertile area for what we do, sometimes very well, other times not so good lately, satire, humor, and parody. So we asked them, can we be at your fair broadcast forum? And they said, yes, we're officially inviting you, Phil. And we love Phil, and he's great, and he's fantastic. And we just think he's the, you know, the cat's meow, blah, 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 blah. If you think I've heard that once, I've heard that 68 million times from all kinds of people, you know, who I'm sure they're sincere, but it's like cocktail party talk. So I move about the process of plane tickets, who's going with me. I understand they're going to give us hotel accommodations. We want to make sure if we aren't live, can we pre-record? If we're pre-recording, are we going to have people ready to receive the recording at this end here on the West Coast, or should we put it on a server? It's all kinds of technical things. And the next day we get a, and so we accept the invitation. The next day we get an email saying, you're uninvited. Fair. This is a guy by the name of Bob Dane, who is their publicity director. Bob Dane uninvited us after inviting us. I told him today on the phone that, you know, your word in our business, in any business, is pretty important, and you just went back on your word. What do you do for a living, man? Well, Phil, you do satire and parody, and we think that what you do could be misconstrued and used by Media Matters. I said, well, that would be funny, because Media Matters would be taking one of our character voices and reporting as if it's real, and we could mock them. You could mock them. Well, we don't have the apparatus to do that. We're a very small operation. Small operation? This guy's got I don't know how many radio stations coming to Washington, D.C. to be micromanaged by him and his organization so they get out the right message on immigration. Now, here's the thing that bothers me. I agree with them when it comes to closing the borders. I agree with them when it comes to enforcing the borders. I agree with the message of fair. But I think what's more important is putting on an entertaining radio show. And because of the fact that I do satire and I do humor and I do parody, we got uninvited. So in other words, because we do radio, we got uninvited. We're not going to be allowed to go to fair because the only thing they want is stale political talk. Now, this is what I mean when I say that my business, my industry, because it is so utterly clueless as to what to do, because we are our industry is run by imbeciles. Well, you know what happens when something has nobody at the tiller. Someone just takes it over. And that's what happened to the radio business. It's been taken over by political interests. It's been taken over by rank amateurs who have an axe to grind about immigration, who got some other thing that they got another problem with something else. They got an idea about abortion and somebody else about taxes and Tea Party here. So the radio business, and I've gotten memos that say, you know, the Tea Party is going to be having this event, and here's some information you might want for your show. In other words, you guys that do radio shows, you don't create or put on the air opinion or provocative kind of shows. You need to be led by the nose. And here is fair bringing in, and I looked at the list of the shows they've got. There's a few people that I know on the list and a few of them that I admire. Most of the shows, you know, I wouldn't use on a Sunday morning, man, if I got the stuff for free. It's the same boring, stale garbage. But fair wants them on April the 6th because they can manage them. They can tell them what to say. I can give you the names of these people. I don't want to embarrass them. I can give you the names of the hosts. Phil Hendry, on the other hand, I do a show where fair can't micromanage it. Or the Tea Party probably couldn't micromanage it. Or the whoever else, you know, the Ed Schultz's of the world couldn't micromanage it. In other words, my radio show, which is a satire can't be micromanaged by any of these political interests, so we don't get to go out and broadcast from these events because the so-called free speech that they believe in doesn't exist. See what I mean? So we'll talk about that a little bit more as we continue here. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, we can't fight this fight alone, man.
That's 877-876-7445.
You know, I need an engineer. You know, I could start with an engineer. That'd be great. I don't mean you, Rick. I could start with someone, you know, come on into the studio here, man, and get the phones to work. That'd be great. We can't fight this fight alone. We need the phones to work. We can't fight this fight alone, man. We need to be able to turn the phones on and hear a caller. That's great. All right, so anyway, getting back to FAIR, I could read you the emails, but I won't do that. What I'm telling you is this. You guys may think it's thrilling and exciting to hear your favorite talk show host go to Washington, D.C. and talk about immigration reform. You may think that it's the most thrilling thing you've ever heard in your lives and that the host is one of the most, boy, I'll tell you, nobody tells him what to say. Well, I got news for you. Yeah, they do. Because you don't get to go to the FAIR, that is the Federation for American Immigration Reform event on April the 6th there in Washington, D.C., unless you are micromanaged by those guys. And see, this is what I have been looking at and what I've been dealing with for many, many years. And people think I'm crazy, but this is exactly what I'm talking about. When we said we'd like to be invited to that, we're not allowed to go. Now, these people at FAIR would tell you that they are objective. Tom Hartman's going to be there. Tom Hartman's a progressive. I think I saw Joyce Kaufman's name from WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. She's a progressive. I think I saw one of the hosts from WVON Chicago. I think that they are probably left-leaning. But beyond that, it's all de rigueur, conservative host, conservative host, conservative host, conservative host. And why is that? Because the Federation for American Immigration Reform is a right-of-center organization that has a specific agenda when it comes to immigration. And that may be fine. But since when do they take a guy who would agree with them, Phil Hendry, since when do I not get to go? Because I do satire? Rush Limbaugh does satire. Do you think they tell him he would be uninvited? And frankly, I'm better at it than Rush. If you don't believe me, ask him. Do you think that they would uninvite a Glenn Beck? He does satire. Well, I take that back. No, they uninvite me because they're afraid that what I say is going to be picked up by Media Matters. I don't know whether you guys read, if you guys at FAIR, did you read the article today about Media Matters? There was a blog published, I think, by the Daily Beast. Nobody reads Media Matters anymore. No one cares about Media Matters anymore. The only people that read Media Matters are the people that read Media Matters. Their stuff isn't picked up by the mainstream media. Their stuff isn't picked up by big news gathering organizations. Nobody listens to them anymore. Media Matters is a joke. Media Matters has become a caricature of itself, a watchdog. That is, a watchdog on conservative media. And now these guys are nitpicking stories, not even using sources, just anonymous, anonymous, anonymous. So they're a joke even among people that might agree with them, even among other so-called progressive news sites. So Media Matters, who cares what they think? But let's say they did. Let's say Media Matters picked up some comment made by, oh, I don't know, Margaret Gray or Bobby Dooley or any one of the other characters we do in our show, and they reported it as fact, and they look about as stupid as Rachel Maddow did the other night when she was talking about that other thing that was going on. I forget what it was. You know what it was, bud?
Well, it's just some. It's a joke.
Yeah, she thought it was a joke, and she took it serious.
Yeah.
That's how dopey they'd look. Now, like I said on our pre-show, my real interest here isn't the fact that I'm not going to be able to go to fair. I don't care. Honestly, I don't. I really don't. What I do care about, though, is this. I care that my industry, the radio industry, is in such pathetic shape right now. I mean, really, in such pathetic shape right now that all it is a mouthpiece for political organizations. They could be liberal. Most of them are conservative. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you understand? It doesn't matter whether they're liberal or conservative. The fact is, it's not an independently operating industry any longer. It's a mouthpiece for politicos behind the scenes that are not broadcasters at all. They're not radio people at all. They're jive mothers who are out there, with their silly points of view about something. Who cares? And why'd that happen? Because the people in our business haven't got a backbone. They're led around by the nose. So along comes some heavy hitter with a political background, you know, like a Soros or a Roger Ailes. You know, both of those guys, they couldn't be more opposite politically, but they're both guys with clout, and they're both guys that can get their hands in and start to manipulate the media. Or an Arianna Huffington. Arianna Huffington, she was somebody's wife. But because nobody knows their ass from a hole in the ground in the news business these days, she came swooping in, and now she's a journalist. Roger Ailes, he's a journalist. He's a guy that runs Fox News. Because the broadcasters are all absent. I mean, the real ones are probably lost in the battle, you know, KIA, and some are MIA, and the rest have been taken prisoner. So some guy says, I'm going to have an event there in Washington for the Federation of this or that or some other bull crap. And here come running all of these talk show hosts to do his bidding. And if you don't the way he wants you to, well, you're not invited. I understand. But I'm telling you, that is what my radio business has become, okay? And that's proof positive. So the next time you hear somebody on the radio that you think you're hearing because the guy is speaking his mind, I want you to ask yourself, exactly why does that guy have that job? Well, the radio station hired him, maybe. But more to the point, that guy's got a job on that radio station because now what's manipulating my industry are the political people. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the Tea Party and the Progressive Party and the Fair and the this and the that. Those are the people that are running the show. And Phil Hendry, because I actually create on the radio, I can't get anywhere. Because I create on the radio, man, I got to sit here screaming my ass off because I can't get any phone calls on the air. I can't make myself understood to people because I think people are used to hearing conservatives tell them about stuff or a liberal host. So when I say I need this, that, or something else, I think people stand there staring with their eyeballs bugging out of their head. What the hell's he talking about, man? What is he talking about? He's talking about what? Wanting the teases to be right? What does that mean? Hell, I ain't talked to anybody that knows what that is. I usually talk to some dumbass that used to be a lawyer, that used to be a this or that, and now he's a talk show host. We'll take a break. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Phil Hendry Show here, and after the show, go to our website. You'll see a log on what was done tonight. The first couple hours were good. Unrest spreads as Bahrain cracks down on protesters. Bahrain now. Bahrain, Tunisia, Libya, Libby.
That a country?
Yeah, Libby's a country. No, Libya, man.
What's Libby?
There ain't no Libby. That's
They make peas.
Peas? What do you mean they make peas?
Yeah, Libby's peas.
Libby's peas. I never heard of that.
You ain't never heard of Libby peas?
No, I've never heard of Libby's peas.
I didn't say. I said Libby peas.
Libby peas.
Yeah.
Will you shut up? Get out of here. Libya, man. The only other Libby that I knew was my friend Ray's girlfriend. Anyway, police storm a Manama Square, or a Manama Square. What does that mean? Anyway, they stormed a square on Thursday to clear activists camped out there as anti-government protests in the Middle East and in North Africa. Once again, we have our last hour. What is this? Like our last hour allergy kicking in. Protests in the Middle East and North Africa, inspired by revolts in Tunisia and Egypt, gathered pace. Clashes reported in tightly controlled oil producer Libya, sandwiched between Egypt and Tunisia, as people there prepared to take to the streets for a day of rage after new protests erupted in Yemen, Iran, and Iraq. Iraq? What the hell are they protesting for? The demonstrations against old rulers came after U.S. President Barack Obama commented on the overthrow of Egypt's Hosni Mubarak, said the world is changing. If you're governing these countries, you've got to get ahead of the change. You can't be behind the curve. Authoritarian governments have reason to fear contagion, with young people able to watch pro-democracy uprisings on satellite television. Contagion. In Bahrain, police fired tear gas and rubber bullets, cleared hundreds of people from the central Pearl Square in the early hours. Thousands of overwhelmingly Shiite protesters took to the streets in Bahrain this week, demanding more say in the Gulf Arab island kingdom, where a family of Sunni Muslims rules over a population that mostly belongs to the Shiite sect. Well, that's neither here nor there, because really what's happening in the Middle East is of a secular nature. And I know that there are people talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, but the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't seem to have the juice that a lot of people think that they have. And they're, I know there's a fear that the Muslim Brotherhood could possibly get stronger, but this does not have a religious flavor to it at all. Now, in Egypt, I don't know who those people are, man, that are out on the street. A lot of them seem to be very hostile to the United States. I have no idea whether they are hostile to Israel or not. Iran, the last I heard, and this could be misreported to some degree, that Iran was planning to sail a warship up the Suez Canal, basically flipping off Israel, basically saying, here's a big F you. And if I were Israel, I'd go to meet it right down at the end of the Suez Canal. I would, if I were Israel, to be perfectly honest with you, if Iran was going to send some warship up the Suez Canal and it came within striking distance of Israel, after having heard the things that the leaders of Iran have said, I'd go down and I'd meet that thing, man. I wouldn't let it go any further. I wouldn't let it come anywhere near my country. And if they tried to, then you get into a little bit of a shooting match with them. Because that the leaders of that country have been openly hostile to Israel. They have said that the Zionist state won't last much longer. They've made comments that they know full well are designed to provoke. So what Israel ought to do is, we heard what you guys said. You're sending a warship up here, really? Do you think you're going to get within shooting distance of us? I don't think so. I'd go out and basically impede their progress up the Suez Canal. And if, there seems to be a problem with that, then there's a problem with that. Now, in Bahrain, in Libya, in Tunisia, in Yemen, and in other places around the world, there have been protests. There are other places around the Middle East, I should say, in Iran as well, protests to try to separate these protests from what was introduced into that region of the world in 2001 by the United States military in Afghanistan and then in 2003 Iraq, to somehow think that these things are not linked, you got to be out of your mind. You got to be living with your head shoved so far up your, or so far down into the.
You think that you still think that when we went into Iraq, man, that caused all this stuff? A lot of people say that that isn't true. You know,
well, what do they think caused it?
They say Barack Obama done it.
Barack Obama did what, man? He didn't start the revolt in Egypt. Did Barack Obama start the revolt in Egypt?
Well, you know, and he went down and talked to like the Middle Eastern people and everything.
He went down and talked to the Middle Eastern people. He had that one speech that he gave. But, you know, the changing of a government, the actual changing of the of a form of government, which means that people have to take to the streets or sometimes they have to pick up arms, that's a very active and very dangerous thing to do. And you need some kind of an example. Now, in Iran, you can't tell me that that's about Barack Obama. In Iran, that was about the leadership of that country being primarily, you know, religious. And that the opposing politicians, all secular educators, many of them, some of them politicians, but people who are looking to get away from the Islamic model, the Islamist model, or however you want to put it, and become more of a democracy. That is a non-religious democracy. That's in Iran. That's in the Islamic Republic, man. That's the capital of whatever the hell you want to call it, you know, the Islamist horrible empire. You tell me that's Obama?
Well, I don't know, but that's Obama, but they said, like, the Egypt and everything.
I think Egypt, man, you know, Egypt and Tunisia, I think those countries are looking at this region of the world, and the people are finally waking up to some things. And to wake up to those things, you have to see, not just hear words. You can't just hear a guy say, well, this, that. You got to see that things are possible. And the United States went in and took out a dictator in Iraq, took out the Taliban in Afghanistan, and showed those people in that part of the world that it is possible to change. It is possible to change those regimes.
Yeah, I know, but Obama, they say, inspired a lot of people to be on the move and everything.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, it could very well be true, but I don't know how a guy stands up there and gives a speech and suddenly wants to stand up and pick up bricks and signs and hit the streets and do battle with cops. I don't know how that works. I think you need an example of something like that, as opposed to just some dude standing there in a nice suit telling you how it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, That he didn't just stand there in a night. I think the day he said it, he was golfing, you know.
What?
The day he said it was golfing.
The day he said what?
The day Obama said about Egypt.
What do you mean he was golfing?
You said he was in a nice suit.
It doesn't make any difference. All right, so he stood there and he's wearing golf pants. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I mean, basically he told the people of Egypt to rise up while he was wearing golf shoes.
Rise up while he was wearing golf. You know something? You guys pick out the stupidest stuff. I swear to God.
Yeah, but you said it.
I didn't say anything of this. I said, you know what? I'm not even, I can't argue with you. You know, you clowns pick up the weirdest things, man. All right, I said a guy in a nice suit. What I was basically saying was some dude that ain't exactly dressed for combat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. He had on golf shoes.
All right, so Obama inspired the people of the Middle East while wearing golf shoes. Whatever. But I don't believe that that was necessarily the case. I do not believe that that was the case. I believe that what happened was the actual physical act of regime change done by the United States in Afghanistan and Iraq was the real spark. Okay? And once the people saw that these Islamists can be defeated, That cats like Al-Qaeda, you know, Al-Qaeda thought they really had the, you know, they had the future in the palm of their hands. Al-Qaeda, they are so marginalized, it's not even funny.
Yeah, they still can still blow stuff up.
Oh, I got no doubt that Al-Qaeda will still try to take something out sooner or later. They'll still try to, you know, eventually be a thorn in people's sides. But they are a marginalized organization. They are a Sunni gang. These people that are running around in the Middle East in the name of religion, thinking that they're going to inspire some return to the caliphate.
Yeah, what is that?
That's the Muslim Empire. That is the old Turkish, the Ottoman Empire that existed for hundreds and hundreds of years until the end of World War I. And there was an Ottoman Empire, a Muslim Empire that stretched from the northern borders of Turkey all the way on down through practically all of the Middle East and North Africa. That was a Islamic empire, and it lasted for hundreds of years until after the First World War. Now, Saddam Hussein has said openly he wants to return to that. This guy couldn't be further out in left field. He couldn't be further away from the from the train of the future than he could possibly be. So there's that guy, and any of them, man, Muslim Brotherhood, my ass, those guys haven't got a prayer. The only question is, what kind of governance is going to take over in Egypt? Is it going to be hostile to Israel or not? Because if it is, you got a problem. And it's going to be a big problem, because it ain't anything that I think Israel is going to be able to take care of by itself. I can tell you that.
Yeah, but who'd go down and do that, though?
I say we let the British do that. All right, a world-famous Phil Henry show produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and Dan Northcraft is our associate producer. All right, so back at it today. See you tonight, 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, and, of course, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, the world-famous Phil Henry show.
Phil Henry.